impart the word of God to you. I do ask that you give him your careful attention. Brother Elder Gordon McCann.
Thank you, Brian. Good evening. I always, when there is a little one who is brought forth to be blessed, I always think about the concept that the mother and the father were participants of bringing in a life that will never die. And I guess when I think about that, that puts in perspective the awesome responsibilities that we have as parents in raising our children and helping them come to an understanding of God in their youth. I'm reminded of a young woman who was barren, who desired to have a child, and she would go every year to the temple and pray and seek God that she might find favor in his sight, that she might have a child. And then she made a pact with God that if he would hear her prayer and give her a child, that she would dedicate that child to God. So it was that when she went home, she did conceive, and true to her promise, she, when the child was weaned, took him to the temple and turned him over, and that was the prophet Samuel. And the work that Samuel did, we can read in the scriptures. I want to talk a little bit about applying our faith tonight. In the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter, we say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I think about those words. You really have to take time to allow those words to sink into your heart that you might have that understanding and pray about it. I guess I think of it as an illustration. I'll pick up a rock, and I can see it's a rock, and I know it, through science they say that you know, different kinds of rocks were formed by so much pressure and heat and everything like this, and it was molten lava that came from the earth. It says, things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. And so I try to apply the word of God to that rock, or those things that God has created. We find that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so it is that, you know, I thought about how appropriate it was this afternoon with the little one that our brothers were asked to present to the Father. We approach him in faith that God will look upon that little one and the life that is before him. That God would have an effect in his life. And that he would glorify God in his life. I think about I love history, and I love the thing I like about history the most is how I can try to relate it to me in my life and in my life, and to understand the things that that God does in our lives. More recently, I was thinking about the time in which we can find in the scripture concerning the Tower of Babel. And we've been studying in Sunday school in the book of Ether, where there was the group of people who were favored of God because of their faith. And they besought God in an eye of faith through prayer that their language would not be confounded as a family and that he would bless them. And we know that was not too long after the flood, I think like maybe 250 years. And then you find that man was becoming corrupt again, desiring to be as God, building this tower. So God was going to confound their languages and separate them on continents throughout the world as peoples. And so we read in the book of Ether where, like I said, the brother Jared and his family were found favor because of their faith. But here comes the history part in there. What else was going on or what took place within 100 years of that same time in a little place that was not far from the Euphrates River? There was a family there that God was recognizing, that exercised their faith, that was living in the, what you call the city of Ur. The man's name was Terah. And there was a young boy born to Terah, whose name was Abram. Now, he was born, at least as you can look in the scriptures, a couple years after Noah had passed away. But I think about his life and God's favor upon him and his faith. And so you have this group of people who were led out away from that land after the Tower of Babel over to the land that we know as the Americas, and they became a great and mighty kingdom. We could read about that. Archaeologists, they're finding all kinds of good things about that group of people known as the Olmec. We know them as the Jaredites. In Central America, they traversed the whole area. They populated the different islands. They went on up, and there's even traces that they may have gone clear up into Canada in their trade, and all the way down to the tip of South America. God had blessed them because of their faith. But as all that was going on, we find God had blessed Abraham, who in an eye of faith, they conceived and become what we know as the covenant people, the children of Israel. And it was through that seed that Jesus Christ would come forth. I think about the faith of Ruth. Like what her seed would do sometime down the way. She was an instrument in the hand of God that Israel was preserved. Kind of a type of what occurred when it was through her lineage that Jesus Christ came. So, you know, that's why I like to understand history. Because it's one of those things that helps put the pieces together of God's great plan. Sometimes we think on very small terms. I think of Elijah when he was been terrorized and fled into a cave that Israel was wholly destroyed. And God had told him, no, he had preserved 3,000. They had not bowed the knee to Baal. God's plan is bigger than what we may think. And we have to be prayerful. We have to apply our faith that we might understand what is that ultimate, perfect will that God has for our lives in that plan. I think of another one who applied his faith as a youth. Where he was confused as to what he should or should not believe. What was truth? And he looked to the Word of God. And you can find in James in the first chapter, he found that scripture verse that pricked his heart. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask. And God answered his prayer. And set about to display his arm before the nations of the world by that faith. He was given the power and the authority to translate the records that we have today, as we know, as the Book of Mormon. And gave him the strength to set again the authority upon the earth that would not be taken away. He was a mere boy, 16, 17. He applied his faith. And God worked a great mighty work through that faith. I wanted to relate to your young people the importance of your faith. I want you to think about sometimes... I remember in my youth that I was just talking about this. I remember the day, the time in which God had, as I exercised my faith, God gave me a witness, a testimony of the validity of the Book of Mormon, that it was true, that it was of Him. And I couldn't deny it. Even though I was young, I was 15, 16 years old, and didn't know much about it other than I do know that when I asked God if it was true, He bore that witness to me in my heart. And I found it very important later on in life that there was those trials dealing with challenging my faith in that in which I knew God had so ordained to come forth. I didn't have all the answers, but when I was challenged and I couldn't or I wasn't able to come up with the answer, I knew I could go to God and I would have a peace that at some point in time He would reveal to me that understanding and take away that doubt by standing on my faith. And every time I exercised my faith in that, God delivered me from Satan's snare to take away that testimony that the Book of Mormon was part of the plan of God for the salvation of men. So it's no wonder when we read here in 2 Nephi, in the first chapter, words of Lehi on page 82. Starting with verse 66, it says, "And the way is prepared from the fall of man, and salvation is free. And men are instructed sufficiently that they may know good from evil. That God has poured out his spirit upon all men, that they might be able to discern what is truth as they exercise their faith. That that spirit would work that work within each of us as we would avail ourselves to it. And the law is given unto men, and by the law no flesh is justified, or by the law men are cut off. Yea, by the temporal law they were cut off, and also by the spiritual law they perished from that which is good and become miserable forever. Wherefore redemption come in and through the Holy Messiah, for he is full of grace and truth. Behold, he offereth himself a sacrifice for sin to answer the ends of the law." That very law from the very beginning that came forth when we find our first parents in the garden. You eat of that fruit, you will die. Mankind was separated from their God. "Behold, he offer himself a sacrifice for sin to answer the ends of the law and unto all those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Unto none else can the ends of the law be answered." A broken heart and a contrite spirit. Something that's lacking in the world today. Again, history helps me to put in perspective how awful I may or may not have in my life, okay? You can go to your history books and read about the people that lived in the 11th and the 12th and the 13th century. If you think your life is bad today, I suggest you go to the library and read about those that had to live during that period of time. You would not want to change for their life. It was short and miserable. You didn't know when you were going to die because there was always someone there to kill you. And if it wasn't for someone wanting to kill you, you died of some kind of a nasty affliction. That's why I enjoy history, to put in perspective my life and what God has done in my life, where I'm able to stand here and enjoy the freedoms that we have, the health and the prosperity. Those things that are lost a lot of times with the youth and with many people who are all wrapped up in it. And the day when it is taken away, it's going to be devastating. It's going to be devastating on those who cannot put it in the right perspective and not to apply their faith. Their faith will be tried. All of our faith will be tried. In the 73rd verse, it says, "Wherefore, how great the importance to make these things known unto the inhabitants of the earth, that they may know that there is no flesh that can dwell in the presence of God, save it be through the merits and the mercy and the grace of the Holy Messiah, who layeth down his life according to the flesh and taketh it again by the power of the Spirit, that he may bring to pass the resurrection of the dead, being the first that should rise. Wherefore he is the firstfruits unto God, insomuch as he shall make intercessions for all the children of men, and they that believe in him shall be saved. And because of the intercession for all men come unto God." There's another little thing that we kind of just maybe skip over from time to time when we're reading. Just like when I started this morning, this afternoon, I'm still in the morning. When little Kenneth was brought up here, that little soul, it's going to return to the God who created it. Stand before our Maker and give an account of his life. And the eternal judge of the quick and the dead will be the judge. How great the importance to make these things known unto the inhabitants of the earth. In the Book of Commandments, just going to focus on the six verses, first six verses of the first chapter. We find these words: "Hearken, O ye people of my church, saith the voice of him who dwells on high, whose eyes are upon all men. Yea, verily I say, hearken, ye people from afar, and ye that are upon the isles of the sea, listen together, for verily the voice of the Lord is unto all men. And there is none to escape, and there is no eye that shall not see, neither ear that shall not hear, neither heart that shall not be penetrated. And the rebellious shall be pierced with much sorrow, for their iniquities shall be spoken upon the housetops, and their secret acts shall be revealed. And the voice of warning of repent, repent, shall be unto all people by the mouths of my disciples, whom I have chosen in these last days. And they shall go forth, and none shall stay them, for I, the Lord, have commanded them." That was given as a preface to the beginning of the word. That was placed upon Joseph Smith and those who exercised their faith and believed in the work. God worked with them. It is our heritage. It is the thing in which our brother Brian spoke of this morning. To be a tree in the last days. In Mosiah, in the 8th chapter, verse 66, it says, "And now I say unto you that the time shall come that the salvation of the Lord shall be declared to every nation, kindred and tongue and people. Yea, Lord, thy watchmen shall lift up their voices, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye. When the Lord shall bring again Zion, break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God." Now, when you look at that verse of scripture there, Mosiah, and I read the 8th chapter, verse 66 through 69, a lot of it's past tense. It means you had to live through all that to see this. But in part, that work that was to come, the watchmen, were called to be a watchman in these last days, the bride of Christ. And with the voice together, the voice of Jesus Christ and the Spirit, shall they sing, all those who would unite themselves. They could see eye to eye. That plan that God has for the children of men. The cause of Zion. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and the ends of the earth shall, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. You need to read. You need to understand what that means. what's going to transpire in the lives of the children of men for that to happen. Part of it has to do with the Book of Mormon coming forth. It is evidence that God's hand is being revealed. His arm is being revealed in the last days. That's part of it. His work among the house of Israel is another part of it. His work that he has so ordained for us to do is a part of it. And I would think no different than when less than 100 years between Abraham and the Jaredites, there's others that God is working towards that eternal purpose, the effecting of Zion, that all the nations and the kindreds and tongues and people would have an opportunity. Behold, this is mine authority and the authority of my servants and my preface under the book of commandments, which I have given them to publish unto you, O inhabitants of the earth. Wherefore, fear and tremble, O ye people, for what I, the Lord, have decreed in them shall be fulfilled. Now, there are things that are written in the book of commandments that are really just echoing those things that you can find in Isaiah and the different prophecies concerning those things that are going to be coming upon the earth in the last days and the work in which he was going to do through his bride here on earth. And verily I say unto you that they who go forth bearing these tidings unto the inhabitants of the earth, to them is power given to seal both on earth and in heaven, the unbelieving and the rebellious, verily to seal them up unto the day when the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the wicked. Now, what does he mean by that? What is this saying? When we saw the blessing of the little one, we're asking that God would seal a blessing upon him here on earth, and that that blessing would continue in heaven, be acknowledged in heaven, that his servant lifted up that little one, that authority, that power that was given to the Church of Christ in the last days, that our brother Brian and the many others who travel in the foreign countries and within the United States, and even here in this local, when there's someone that says, I want to be baptized, and when they enter into the waters of baptism, and then when they have the laying on of hands, that is that seal. They're mine. Jesus Christ. The signet upon their head. It's sealed on earth, and it is sealed in heaven. That is the bond, the promise. And that gift of the Holy Ghost becomes a part of you. You become the temple of the Almighty God here on earth. A very awesome and a very humbling concept concerning the plan of God for his creation. To seal them up unto the day when the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the wicked. So it's our teachings, it's our interface with the world as we speak and teach, and our examples of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The importance it is that we apply our faith to please God. have him to enter into our lives that we might have salvation. That we might be participants of that great kingdom that God has promised for those who would follow his commandments. But those who turn away from it, ignore it, they're sealed. They're sealing their fate. And that's what this says. To them, to seal them up unto the day when the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the wicked without measure. Unto the day when the Lord shall come to recompense unto every man according to his work. And measure unto every man according to the measure which he has measured to his fellow man. In Matthew in the 16th chapter, it's a very familiar verse for those who do a lot of preaching to new faces. It shouldn't be new to us. Verse 18 and 19, it says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." That same promise has been come down to the bride of Christ in these last days through the authority given of us by Jesus Christ. The third verse, it says, "Wherefore the voice of the Lord is unto the ends of the earth, and that all that will hear may hear, prepare ye. Prepare ye for that which is to come, for the Lord is nigh, and the anger of the Lord is kindled, and his sword is bathed in heaven. And it shall fall upon the inhabitants of the earth, and the arm of the Lord shall be revealed, and the day cometh, that they who will not hear the voice of the Lord, neither the voice of his servants, neither give heed to the words of the prophets and the apostles, shall be cut off from among the people. For they have strayed from mine ordinances and have broken mine everlasting covenant. They seek not the Lord to establish his righteousness, but every man walketh in his own way, and after the image of his own God, whose image is the likeness of the world, whose substance is that of an idol, which waxeth old and shall perish in Babylon, even Babylon the Great, which shall fall." There are several scriptures that I think about that would substantiate those words that were spoken under the influence of the Spirit back in those days. One can be found in the first book of Nephi in the 3rd chapter. That great separation that's going to occur because of sin, and that work that God is going to do on the earth. The 3rd chapter, verses 220 and 222. "And he said unto me, Behold, there are saved 2 churches only. The one is the church of the Lamb of God, and the other is the church of the devil. Wherefore, whoso belongeth not to the church of the Lamb of God belongeth to the great church, which is the mother of abominations." And I think it speaks to those who are not receptive to the voice of the Lord, neither to the voice of his servants. Neither do they give heed to the words of the prophets and the apostles. It says they shall be cut off from among the people. It's that separation in the last days. We're going to see it. The church is going to be the cause of it to some extent in the sense of its teaching and preaching, bringing to light those things that God would have the children of men to understand. In 1 Nephi, in the 7th chapter, verse 30, "And all that fight against Zion shall be destroyed." That's another word for being cut off. "Shall be cut off from among the people." Fighting against Zion. That's fighting against the plan that God has so ordained for us in these last days, that we might have salvation, that he might effect that work among the seed of Abraham that he had started long, long time ago, going back to history, foretold by the prophets of old. In the 42nd verse of that first chapter of Nephi, in the 7th chapter, it says, "For the time surely must come that all they who fight against Zion shall be cut off." That separation, that division of those who believe and those who do not believe, those who will accept the words of God, that Jesus Christ, not Muhammad, not whoever it might be out there, it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is their salvation and none else. 2 Nephi, in the 7th chapter, verses 23 through 25. "Wherefore he that fighteth against Zion," and there's no discrimination here, "both Jew and Gentile, both bond and free, both male and female, shall perish. For they are they who are the whore of the earth." That's separation. The church of the devil. "For they who are not for me are against me, saith our God." That great separation that we're seeing today. We're seeing it in our nation. We're seeing it across the nations of the earth. "Wherefore I, the Lord, knowing the calamity which should come upon the inhabitants of the earth, called upon my servant Joseph and spake unto him from heaven and gave him commandments and also gave commandments to others that they should proclaim these things unto the world and all this that it might be fulfilled which was written by the prophets, the weak things of the world should come forth and break down the mighty and the strong, that man should not counsel his fellow man, neither trust in the arm of flesh, but that every man might speak in the name of God, the Lord, even the Savior of the world, that faith also might increase in the earth, that my everlasting covenant might be established, that the fullness of my gospel might be proclaimed to the weak and the simple unto the ends of the world, and before kings and rulers." If you can't, without confidence, make that statement that God spoke to Joseph Smith, gave him the power and the authority to translate those records and be an instrument in God's hands to bring about the church in the last days, then you need to go to God on your knees in humility, asking him that you might understand the truth. His testimony. In the book of Corinthians, in the first chapter, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, it says, "For ye seeing your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called." Scriptures say that the wise and those of the world think of this as foolishness. That we're wasting our time. That there's no advantage in believing the way we believe. And putting our trust in false things. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." And that's where the Spirit of God comes in your life. Because you can stand in confidence with that assurance. And you can wait and you can see the arm of God working, fulfilling those prophecies of old And when you live in the Spirit and are familiar with those scriptures, you're not afraid. Because you're given that understanding that God is in control. Even with everything that we see in our nation today, it's very stressful. But I know it's the hand of God working a work with us as a nation. The sad thing is, who are they saying that we need to reach out to? Or what we need to do? We find that they teach about that we should be, it's basically that we're trying to trust in an arm of flesh. There's someone else out there that we can, will get us out of this mess. Somebody that we're going to elect. Whatever it might be, there's going to be somebody other than Jesus Christ doing it. Trusting in an arm of flesh. And that's not going to happen. These things that are coming upon us today is to shake us and the nations of the world, to cause us to start to think, what do we truly believe? And does God really have a plan for you and I? And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty. And base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, not of him, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So when that little one was held up, it was the glory of God that his life will be so ordered that he will glorify his God in his walk of life. We entered into the waters of baptism, the same thought. As we raise our family, the same thought. As we prepare to die, it's the same thought to glorify God. That we know and we are in confidence that there's a life beyond this. Alma in the 17th chapter, verse 36. And the Lord God doth work by means to bring about his great and eternal purposes by the very small means. The Lord doth confound the wise and bringeth about the salvation of many souls. Really, it was speaking of that time in which the sons of Mosiah wanted to bring to the Lamanites an understanding of God and his teachings. And the small means by which they were talking about at that time was those records. They had the records of their forefathers that they were able to bring to them and say, here it is. It was written. We're not lying to you. And that small means was that God commanded the children of men to write. And through faith they wrote, hoping that it would affect something in the plan of God. And so it's no different than this that speaks from the dust, from those who lived long ago. And this, the same, of the validity of God and his promises on the one hand and the other are true. Fifth verse, behold, I am God, and I have spoken it. The author of these words. These commandments are of me and were given unto me at my servants in their weakness. He recognizes they're in the flesh. after the manner of their language, that they might come to understanding. And inasmuch as they erred, it might be made known. Inasmuch as they sought wisdom, they might be instructed. And inasmuch as they sinned, they might be chastened, that they might repent. And inasmuch as they were humble, they might be made strong. And blessed from on high, and received from time to time, received knowledge from time to time. After they have received the record of the Nephites, yea, even my servant Joseph might have power to translate through the mercy of God, by the power of God, the Book of Mormon. And also those to whom these commandments were given might have power to lay the foundation of the church, to bring it forth out of obscurity and out of darkness, the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth, with which I, the Lord, am well pleased, speaking to the church collectively and not individually, for I, the Lord, cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. Nevertheless, he that repenteth and doeth the commandments of the Lord shall be forgiven. And he that repenteth not, from him shall be taken even the light which he hath received. For my spirit shall not always strive with man, saith the Lord of hosts. In the second book of Nephi, in the 13th chapter, verses 4 and 5, for my soul delighteth in plainness. This is Nephi speaking. For after this manner doth the Lord work, God work, among the children of men. For the Lord God giveth light unto the understanding, for he speaketh unto men according to their language, unto their understanding. And how beautiful that is. That concept, that thought. That when Brother Brian goes to Africa, where they speak Swahili, and he's standing there and he's speaking, there's our Brother Michael or Brother Moses is interpreting, that the Spirit of God is conveyed to the body of people there and gives them understanding of the words that he's saying are true. And that they can confidently accept those words as those of God. And they glorify God in that thing. No different than in the Philippines or in India, where our brothers are going to go here soon. Wherever it might be in our own lives here in this own congregation, he speaks to our heart and brings to us that understanding. If we will allow and exercise our faith, he will hear our cries in our behalf. And he will extend that same promise to you and to me. Genesis 6:3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And that was after the flood, I believe. And he was making that statement, and shortly after that, we find the brother Jared. The Lord says the very same thing to him. Ether 1:41, and the Lord said unto him, I will forgive thee and thy brethren of their sins, but thou shalt not sin any more. For ye shall remember that my spirit will not always strive with man. Wherefore, if ye will sin until you are fully ripe, ye shall be cut off from the presence of the Lord. The Lord speaks the same yesterday, today, and forever. Among whatever people, it is the same. It's the same message. Verse 6, and again, verily I say unto you, inhabitants of the earth, for I, the Lord, am willing to make these things known unto all flesh. For I am no respecter of persons, and willeth that all men shall know that the day speedily cometh. The hour is not yet, but is nigh at hand. Now this was in 1829, 1830. So how many years we've had? 170 years, 180 years. Now we're starting to see those things come to pass. But is nigh at hand when peace shall be taken from the earth. Now we can say, well, let's see, from 1830, what happened? Well, we had, all kinds of wars, Civil War. We had Spanish-American Wars. We've had all kinds of, we had World War I and World War II. That was pretty devastating, but we find that peace wasn't totally removed from the earth. But I think we're seeing the seeds where that peace is going to be taken from the earth. And it's being taken away pretty quickly, faster than what we would have ever thought or dreamed. And the devil shall have power over his own dominion. That's that separation that I read to you in 1 Nephi in the 3rd chapter. And also the Lord shall have power over his saints. If you read a little bit further, 2:26, that's when the Lord says he's going to pour out his spirit upon his saints and the covenant people. And shall reign in their midst and shall come down in judgment upon Edomia, or the world. Edomia, if you look at that up, it's a Hebrew word for Edom. And we can go to Malachi. When it speaks of Edom, the Lord doesn't speak very favorably of Edom, who was Esau, was one of the brothers of Jacob and his people. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. So if you want to apply that to that statement, and shall come down in judgment upon Edomia, his indignation, the Lord's indignation, would be upon those individuals who are identified in that parallel, or the world. 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter, verses 3 and 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Those were, I think there's only one more verse in that chapter. I'm not going to read it. But it's a very telling chapter. It was the preface to the Church of Christ. It was helping them to understand the day, the time that they lived, and what was being affected at that time. And we're living in those days today. I pray that we exercise our faith as those who have exercised their faith in the past, that we might please Him, that we might prepare our hearts and our minds for those things that are going to be coming upon the earth. And some of them are here even to this day. That we might be accounted worthy to be a part of the kingdom of heaven in this last day. Thank you.